to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now, there's an awful lot in this verse, and I want to kind of dissect it a little bit today so we know what Paul was talking about and why he said what he did to Timothy. But he says, forbidding to marry. You know, if we look back at verse 2, let's just take a look at verse 2 real quick of chapter 4. It says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, what we need to realize is that if you look back there, you'll see that many things were lies which were being told in the church and being taught, false doctrines by certain priests. Here we see they felt that it was better for men and women who were in the service of religious service to be celibate. And that's what they were teaching. They were teaching this in the early church, that a man or a woman, if a man was a priest, he shouldn't be married, and same way with a woman. But here we see that they felt it was better for them to be celibate, and they felt that they would be able to be more holy or spend more time doing God's work if they were not married and having to take care of a family. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 28, it says, But if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. You know, Paul said it was not sin to get married. If you were in the, a preacher, if you're a priest, whatever, it was okay to get married. You know, priests of the of that day were trying to get the people to not marry, and they wanted to take and keep them celibate. They had said that if you don't marry, you're going to have more time, you know, to work with God. You have more time to work in the church. You have more time because you're not making a living for your family. You're not making having to support someone. And, you know, that's what we need to talk to our teenagers about, being, you know, I mean, not getting married. Anyway, but, you know, many religions have taught that over the years, that a priest needs to be celibate. And I look at the Catholic Church and the Greek Orthodox Church, they still hold that. But yet that isn't what the Bible says. The Bible does not say that a person has to be celibate. You know, many times it might have been easier to serve the Lord alone. However, God made women as a what for a man? Help me. And she was to help in the ministry. And she was to help further the gospel of Christ. You know, if the Catholic Church would have allowed marriage, I believe that their priests may not have gotten into the trouble they have in the last decade. And we need to realize that people are human, and they have human desires. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 7 to 9, it says, for I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, and one after this manner, and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. Now Paul was no different than any of the rest of us. He had the same passions we do. He had the same desires as we did. And he was no different than what you and I are. And he said, you know, if you have such a desire to be married, you need to get married. I can remember somebody we had in the church quite a few years ago. And he wasn't married, and he wanted to get married. And so he went and he went on the internet, and he got found a woman in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and they had never met other than the internet. And he moved everything he had up to Cheyenne, Wyoming. They got married in Cheyenne, Wyoming, And I mean, they were just madly in love. About 6 months later, I got a telephone call from him. And I said, where are you at? He says, I'm in El Paso. I said, oh, yeah. I said, you down there on vacation? He goes, no. He says, I'm down here to live. I said, why? He says, she bought me a one-way ticket. And I said to him, I said, well, what happened? He says, well, he says, she liked her cat better than me. And I'm thinking to myself, okay. But, you know, that's what happens so many times is people will have a desire to get married, and they marry the wrong person. And so we see that we need to be sometimes like Paul. You know, Paul was single, and he did everything that he could for the honor and glory of God. Now, Paul realized that some can stay single, and others have to get married. However, it was not going to be to their discredit if they got married. Now, God sanctioned marriage between a man and a woman. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 31, it says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You know, it's our right for a man of God to be married. It's okay for that. A man of God should be married, or, you know, needs to be married, because then your wife can take and help you in your ministry. But all through the Bible, you'll see men of God who were married. You know, if you go into the New Testament, you look at Peter. Peter had a wife. Andrew had a wife. Matthew had a wife. They all had wives. You go into the Old Testament, there were very few in the Old Testament that weren't married. Daniel wasn't, because he was a eunuch. But he wasn't married. Elijah was married. Elisha wasn't. But then, Isaiah was. So you see a lot. You look at Abraham. Abraham was married twice. Well, once, actually, just to Sarah. And then, so here we see that even men of God in the Bible were married. You know, all through the Bible, you know, you look at men and God allowed them to be married and to help them with what he had called them to do.
What about high
priest? What's that?
What about the high priest?
The who?
High priest.
Yeah, the high priest could get married. Aaron was married. Aaron was married, and so was Elishabed, he was married. Abihu, he was married. And but then he goes on to say, commanding to abstain from meat. Now, many of the priests were teaching that they were not to eat of unclean meats that were put under the Mosaic law. And up to this point, that was what the law they were going by. You know, what was an unclean meat? Huh? Horses were one. What else? Pigs. Split hoofs. What about fish? Huh? Yeah, nothing that eats off the bottom. Lobster, crab. You know, they weren't to eat any bottom feeders because of the disease or something that they could carry. And so here we see that there was many, 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 many priests that were doing that. Why did God have the unclean or certain animals unclean? Well, okay, let's look at a vulture. What does a vulture eat? Everything. Okay. Yeah, and look at a pig. A pig will eat anything that gets in its... And God wanted to keep the children of Israel from getting diseases, because most of their meat and fish and things like that were not cooked very good. They ate most of it raw. And so if you eat raw pork that hasn't been cooked right, well, you could get some pretty bad diseases. But there were many priests of that day that were teaching that they were not to eat of anything unclean, especially unclean meats that were under the Mosaic law. In Acts chapter 10, verses 12 to 15, it says, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." You know, until this point in time, it was unlawful for the Jews to eat anything which was unclean. You know, God is under the law told people, you cannot eat of this stuff here, but you can eat of this stuff here. It wasn't until Peter had this dream. Now, Peter was dreaming, and he dreamt that this curtain came down from heaven, and in this curtain was all of these animals. There was clean and unclean animals in there, but most of them were all unclean. And God said, kill and eat. And Peter says, no, I've never eaten anything unclean ever. And God said, well, what I have made is clean. So go ahead and eat it. And so from that time on, the separation between clean and unclean was no longer there. Until this point of time, it was unlawful to take and eat anything unclean. But up until Peter had that dream, and it became lawful for people to eat whatever. Now, it was unlawful for them to eat any meat which was offered to an idol or to a false god under the Mosaic law. And you know, and this is was very common in that day, like Baal and Balaam and all those false gods that were there. They could not eat anything that was offered to them. If you take and you think of Daniel, why was it Daniel did not want to eat of the king's meat? What it was offered to an idol first. Before the king would eat it, it had to be offered to an idol. And so Daniel says, no, I will not eat of that because it's been offered to an idol. And so they didn't. He didn't eat of it. He separated himself. And so here we see that in the Old Testament, it was very, very important that a person did not eat of anything that was offered to an idol. Now, Paul tells the people in of Corinth in 1 Corinthians that it is only unlawful if you're going to cause another brother to stumble. You know, if something was offered to an idol, filet mignon or you know, something like that, and it was going to cause, and I was going to eat it, but it would cause Serena to stumble, I shouldn't eat it. And that's what it's talking about, is that we need to be careful so that we don't cause a brother or sister in Christ to stumble by what we're doing. Our testimony is so very important to those who are around us. We need to understand that all of us are a sermon in shoes. You know, the things that we do, the things that we say, the places we go, the things we eat, the things we drink, everything like that shows people what we really are. And we need to be so careful what we do and how we do it. You know, and then he goes on to say, which God created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Paul is telling them that they should be able to eat anything as long as they do it with thanksgiving. Now, anytime we open our mouths and put food in it, we should be thankful for where that came from. You know, those who do not know the Lord and do not know the truth, they're the ones who need not give thanks, because who are they going to give thanks to? Somebody they don't know. And we need to realize is that we need to take and give thanks to God for allowing us to have the food on our table, clothes on our back, and things like that. And, you know, one thing that everyone should do is pray at every meal. We should pray at every meal and thank God for what we're getting. I saw something on Facebook the other day. There was a little boy. He was sitting at a table, and he had a cookie in front of him. He's got his head bowed, and he's thanking God for that cookie. Now, I mean, that to me said volumes of what that little boy had been taught, that any time you put food in your mouth, you should have God and thank him for what you're going to partake in. But there's an awful lot of people today that don't do that. They don't take and they don't thank God for what he has given them. And we need to realize that everything that we have is not by us, but it's by the hand of God. Verse 4, it says, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Now, Paul goes on into great detail about what we can and cannot eat. You know, every creature of God is good. Now, here we see there's no longer a difference between clean and unclean. All creatures which God has created are good for us as long as that they're received in thanksgiving. Now, it was up to this point here where we could no longer eat pork. But now we can eat pork because everything that God made is considered good. And we need to be thankful for all that God has given to us. You know, how many times do we go out to eat and we don't thank God for what we've eaten? I don't know how many times my wife and I have been in restaurants, and we bow our heads and pray, and we've had people come up to us afterwards and say, hey, we really appreciated you praying for your meal. And so, what's that? Yeah. Well, it's we had, the banquet we had a couple years ago for the kids at Olive Garden, and I stood up and said, okay, the place was packed, and I said, okay, let's pray. Everybody in that whole restaurant shut up. There was not a sound. I prayed, we got done, and we started eating, and I had people come up to me afterwards and thank me for praying for our food and this and that. We need to realize that we need to take and have that. We need to take and pray. We need to thank God for what we have. You know, how many times, though, do we forget to thank God for what we put in our mouths, you know? And we need to always be thankful for what we do. You know, God has allowed us to have the money to pay for our food. You know, I mean, if it wasn't for God allowing us to have the money to pay for our food, would we have food? Probably not. Probably not. Stacy, you want to go shut that outside door for me, please? Thank you. But what we need to realize is that God gives us the money to buy the food that we have. So we need to be thankful for what God has given us. You know, there's an awful lot of people today that aren't thankful for what God has given them. And we need to realize that we need to be thankful for everything that God's given us, not only our food, but our clothes, our houses, and everything else. Verse 5, it says, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now, the food that we eat has been sent, has been set apart by the word of God. Notice that verse again. For it is sanctified. What does sanctified mean? If you're sanctified from the world, what does it mean?
Separated.
You're separated from the world. Right, exactly. And what Paul is saying here, that for it is sanctified, or this, the food is separated by the word of God and prayer. You know, God said that everything is clean, everything can be eaten. And if we pray and we give thanksgiving for it, then it's okay to eat it. Now, there are certain things that we probably shouldn't eat, you know, oysters, you know, sushi, you know, stuff like that, you know. No, I'm just kidding. But those are things I don't like. But but if we recall under the law, God said, certain foods were not allowed to be eaten. Now, by the word of God, all meats are good for us to partake in. It was not until the time period that we basically are right now that it was lawful. You know, if you go pre-cross, under the law, they couldn't eat a lot of food. And but there was a lot of food that they could eat. Yeah, not only are the we set apart by the word, but we're also set apart by prayer. And that's the most important part, is to be set apart by prayer. This is where the thanksgiving comes in. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." We need to be thankful for all God has given to us. You know, we need to lift up our voices and let God know how thankful we are for the bountiful blessings that he's given us. You know, there's an awful lot of times that we do not thank God for what he's given us. You know, last night I spent quite a bit of time in prayer before I went to bed, because I wanted to make sure that everything that I said today was what God wanted me to say. And we need to take and we need to pray and thank God for what he's done for us and what he's given us. And if all of us would take and do that, I think you'd we'd have a whole lot better life. I cut my lesson a little bit short today because my voice, I need it for church too. And my voice is not what it should be this week. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this lesson. I pray we can use it for your honor and your glory. Thank you for loving us. I pray now that you'll guide and direct all that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Next week, I guarantee you'll have a lot longer lesson. All right. We're going to start church in about 20 minutes. So we got donuts up here. We've got all kinds of stuff. Come on, have some. Muffins.